through Christ gave these men the authority that they have and brought them to this church at this time. When we start thinking about the sacredness of this office, we need to understand that it comes through Christ. Now, I know all of these men fairly well, some of them better than others. And I'm going to tell you this, all of these men are human, and they fight with the same human desires that you do. But because that Christ gave them this office, we need to treat them differently. I'd like to call our elders to come forward, John Shackelford, Bill Hemphill, and Chris Kent. These men are overseers of the church here, and they have been given a great and solemn task. Now we're going to ask that John Wharton and Monty Betts come forward and stand with our current elders. Since the North Tampa Church of Christ founding, many families have come forward to lead this congregation. It has been in many forms, including men serving as elders or deacons, but it is always a personal and family sacrifice. It is important that we continue to develop and advance this kind of leadership in the church. Today, February the 12th, 2003, we're going to appoint Monty Betts and John Wharton as additional elders. The appointment of elders is very important to the spiritual health and growth of the church. The Bible gives us directives on the appointment of elders as well as the qualifications. These men have been found to meet the biblical qualification and have agreed to serve. It has been the church's task to determine that these men are scripturally qualified to serve in this position. It is the will of God that such men be appointed to serve as elders of this church, and that the membership willingly submit to their leadership. A reasonable procedure has been followed to determine their suitability for this work, and your acceptance of them should be without reservation, just as they must, without reservation, accept the duties to be placed on them. Because no objections have been found, Monty Betts and John Wharton stand before you as meeting the scriptural qualifications to serve as elders. Will you therefore, as a congregation, show by standing together that from this day forward we recognize John Wharton and Monty Betts as scripturally appointed elders over this church, the North Tampa Church of Christ. Please be seated. John and Monty, the church has indicated great respect for you and confidence in you by choosing you to serve as one of their elders. You know both the duties and the limitations of this office, that the well-being of this church, indeed the salvation of your own souls and the souls of others, may be affected by how well you discharge the duties being placed on you. You must accept this appointment with humility and with the sincere intention to serve God and this church from this day forward. The church and you must remember that God's design for the eldership is to work together as a group, that none of you hold this position individually, but collectively you will act as one. Do you, Monty, agree to serve this congregation as a shepherd and servant, committing yourself to God's will for His church?
I do.
Do you, John, agree to serve this congregation as a shepherd and servant, committing yourself to God's will for His church?
I do.
Now, therefore, in view of the congregation's approval and their acceptance, be it known that from this day forward, Monty Betts and John Wharton are duly appointed elders of the North Tampa Church of Christ. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer now. Our most gracious Father in heaven, holy is your name. We thank you for the church, which is your Son's bride. Father, we thank you for all those who have served in the past, for the sacrifices, for the love of their church, for their spiritual gifts that have brought us to this point in time. Bless them as they have served faithfully, trying to please you in their work. Father, we are encouraged by Bill, Chris's, and John's willingness to continue to serve, and for Monty and John's commitment in helping this congregation reach its spiritual potential. We pray that this congregation may be encouraged and renewed as your Spirit directs these men. May we commit these men as faithful shepherds to be bishops over your work here at North Tampa. We pray that you bless their families as they must make sacrifices in order for them to lead. Father, may we as a congregation may make their work a joy and not a burden, lifting them up in prayer and encouragement. Please be with any of our number who are uneasy and remind them that your will is being done. Father, our future is in your hands as we designate these men as elders over this body. We ask that you give us spiritual and numerical growth, increase our gifts and our love as we serve in your kingdom. Help the congregation to know that these men are interested in the spiritual welfare of every individual in our fellowship and seek to do all things in accordance with God's will. It's in Christ's name we do pray. And let the church say, Amen. Monty, would you like to address the congregation?
I appreciate your support. I'm honored that I can try to be a shepherd in this congregation. I'm thankful to God. I pledge that I will do my best to serve God, serve this congregation, and that I will seek to do His will in every way I can.
I did want to share a few words with you. I'm so thankful that I can be a part of this church. I love you so much, and I hope you know that. I can't express it the way Neil does, but know it's from the heart that I do love you very much. And I'm so honored to be chosen to be one of your elders. And I hope that I can do a very good job in service to the Lord. And I'm reminded of a scripture that my sister Lupi reminds me of all the time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think that is such an important verse to remember because I can't do it on my own. There's nothing I can do that would be worthy enough to be in service to God without the strength of Christ. I think of the verse where Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We talk a lot about being passionate followers of Christ. And the question is, how do we do that? And I think that Jesus just answered that. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. If we can actually do that, we're going to be unstoppable. Amen. We need to keep in mind that it's not by our strength that we're going to reach this community. It's not by our strength that we're going to be reaching out and bringing great numbers to Christ. It's by the strength of Christ. It's because of what he's done that we can be successful. And we desire to serve our God, do we not? We have this desire to do what God wants us to do, but we think, I can't do it. And you're right, you can't. Only Christ can do it, and he's doing it through us. So what I want us to do this morning is to say to ourselves, or aloud if you want to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because that is the one thing we have to keep in mind as we strive to serve our God. I'll do the best that I possibly can. I hope you'll hold me accountable. I hope you'll help me. And I hope you'll pray for me, because this is an awesome task, and I can't do it by myself. Thank you very much.
Wow, what a great day. Amen?
Amen.
So many good things that are happening in this church, and if you're looking for a church home, this is the place to be. Because we have so many exciting things that are going on. But more importantly than that, this is a church that loves God and loves each other. And if you've never experienced that in your life, this is the place to come and experience it. We've just appointed two new shepherds, and if you look at your sermon notes today, I have six responsibilities that the church has to elders, and I figure I can get through these by at least 2 o'clock. So, we'll get through these quickly, but I want you to know, while the elders have a responsibility to you, you have a responsibility to them. And if you're new to the church and you don't understand some of the church words and things like that, the term pastor, shepherd, bishop, presbyter, if you've got the King James Version, all of those have to do with the elders of the church. They're synonymous for the term elder. And so when you hear those terms, you need to understand their titles. Biblical titles that are given to these men that in some cases talk about the work that they're doing as well as the authority that they have over the church. So we have a responsibility to them. As you'll look at the scripture that was given to you a few moments ago, it says, God, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And so we need to understand that God, through Christ, gave these men the authority that they have and brought them to this church at this time. When we start thinking about the sacredness of this office, we need to understand that it comes through Christ. Now, I know all of these men fairly well, some of them better than others. And I'm going to tell you this, all of these men are human. And they fight with the same human desires that you do. But because that Christ gave them this office, we need to treat them differently. And the very first thing, if you look at your lesson notes, the church's responsibility to the elders is we should imitate them. Now, I know some of you are thinking, I don't know how to be Santa Claus. But if you look at the scripture, the very last part of the scripture, it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of the way of their life, and underline these words, imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. And the reason why I want you to look at this is because you as a church need to get to know your elders in such a way that you can imitate their faith. Now, I have been in this Christian walk for all of my life. My dad was a preacher, and I grew up in the church. I've gone through my battles. I've gone through my rebellion. But one of the things that I've learned in my walk with God is a lot of things are more caught than taught. And what I mean by that is being around people who are of faith will help you grow your faith. One of the reasons why we have life groups is so that we can help each other become passionate followers of Jesus Christ, because a lot of times it's not something we teach, it's something we watch in others and we pick up from others. So when it says that we are to imitate them, it means that we are to imitate their faith. Number two, we should submit to them. We should submit to them. Hebrews chapter 13, the latter part of the verse, it says, submit to their authority. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We don't like that word submit, do we? I mean, any time I want to get a class full of people going, I'll just say, you need to submit. And it just ruffles everybody's feathers. But when you think about what Christ did and how he submitted himself to God for us, we shouldn't have any problem submitting to them. Now, I've heard several people talk about submit husbands, or wives should submit to their husbands, but I got to tell you this, the passage also says in there, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And I can guarantee you this, husband, no woman will ever have a problem submitting to a man that loves her the way Christ loves the church. Amen, women? So, hang on to that word submit. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. And of course, it's talking about older people there, but as you will notice, most of these guys are older than us. Some of them not, but some of them, most of them are. As a matter of fact, I was a kid when I first met Monty Betts. I was in my 20s when I first met Monty Betts. Now, Paula was a teenager, but Monty is the same age. Monty is the same age as he was when I was in my 20s, so I'm submitting to him. All right, number three. We should have confidence in them. And what that means is the elders are going to make some decisions. And you're not going to know all the facts. It's not the elders' responsibility to come to church and say, hey, here are all the facts, here are all the things that we have considered. And what you need to do as a body of believers at this church is you need to have confidence that they've weighed things out, that they've looked at it. Now, it doesn't mean you can't come and talk to them about decisions. It doesn't mean that what they say you've got to just go with blindly. What it means here is you need to have confidence that they're making the right decisions for this church. If you have questions, you can come and talk to them about it, but you need to have confidence in the fact that these men are doing the right things. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. What the writer of Hebrews is trying to say here is that if you understand what they're dealing with, if you understand that these men are going to have to give an account for your soul, you will know they're looking out for your best interest here. Number four, we should learn from them. Titus tells us that one of the qualifications of an elder is that they have to be apt to teach. They have to be ready to teach. And we've got to be ready to listen if they're ready to teach. They spend time in study, they spend time in prayer, and in doing this, we need to be ready to learn from them. Number five, we should pray for them. we should pray for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving may be made for all people, for kings, for presidents, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet in all godliness, quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So we need to learn that we need to pray for these men. If there's one thing that these men value, is when you come up to them and you say, I am praying for you. And they know that that right there means that they have your support, but also your prayers, so that God will guide them and give them His Spirit as they make decisions. That's one of the things that I love about our leadership, our eldership, is they're constantly invoking the Spirit of God to come into our meetings so that we may make the right decisions. The next thing, number six, is we should support them. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17, says this at the end of the verse, do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. I'm telling you this because this congregation has been the most unified congregation that I have ever seen in terms of support of leadership. I have been in congregations where it's been the preacher, the elders, and the congregation, and none of them are moving together. I've been in congregations where the leadership and the congregation is in the same realm, in the same place, and the preacher is not. I have seen congregations where the elders and the preacher are all on the same page, but the congregation is not. And we have something special here that is God-given, that we have a unity. And we need to continue with that unity by supporting our elders and praying for them. So you have a job today. And that job is to figure out how you can do these six things. Every Lord's Day, we have an invitation. And sometimes that invitation is real easy for us to understand. Sometimes that invitation comes at the end of a sermon that we've heard, and we realize that that sermon has touched our hearts, and we look at that invitation and we know we need to respond in some way. But that invitation is always open regardless of what we're doing here as a church. And that invitation is not just on Sunday morning. That could be on Monday morning. But on every Sunday, we as a church, we sing an invitation song. And we sing that invitation song because we want you to take that moment to reflect on what God's doing in your heart. It may very well be that today when you walked in here and you saw, oh, we're appointing elders today, I don't get to hear enough funny stories from Neil. This is going to be boring. Or you may have walked in here today and you just fought with a family member, a spouse, and you're thinking, I got to get through this so I can get back to the fight. Or it may be that you walked in here this morning and you want to be any place but here. But you came out of habit. It may be that you came this morning because you're hurting. And you haven't really been able to focus on what's going on here so much. As a matter of fact, when you see all these old men, including me up front, you may be thinking, boy, I wish I hadn't come today. But if you realize you didn't come to see me, or our elders being installed or hear a sermon, but you came here today to see God. You came here to worship. You see, we sing these songs, and I know I grew up as a kid hearing some of these songs, and we hear the songs, and a lot of times when we hear the songs, when people are singing, oh, this thing needs to speed up, or this thing needs to slow down, or I don't like this song, or, you know, where's Jason today? No offense, Jan. Or whatever it is you came in here, but if you came in here and you came in here seeking God, you should have worship today. I love that Todd, when he did communion today, he switched it up. I'm like, where is he going talking about Jesus as a kid? I've never heard that before in a communion service. And for those of you who go to sleep during that part of our service, that's what he did today. He talked about Jesus as being a child and what's going on there. He did a good job, in case you're wondering. But my point being is, why did you come today? And if you came seeking Jesus, you would have found him no matter what happened in the service today. No matter if it was a short sermon or a long sermon, if you came seeking Jesus, you would have found him. When Nancy and I were dating, seems like 100 years ago, but we would take her little MG. That's the reason why I married her. She had a convertible MGB. And I don't know how all 6'3" of me got in that thing, but man, did I look cool. And we would ride together. She would always let me drive. She was submitting to my authority right off the bat. Actually, she didn't like to drive, is what it was. But she let me drive her car, and there was a barbecue place that I really liked, but it was about 20 minutes away. And so what I would do on Sunday nights is I would go with her to a church that was way out in no man's land. I don't know how these people ever found the building, because there was nothing around it except for farms. And we would go out that way because that barbecue place was nearby, and I knew that if I took her to church out there, that she would buy me barbecue. And we'd walk into this little bitty church that had about 15 people, most of them older. And we would walk in, and we would drop the median age in half. And their song leader would tap his foot and sing off key. But every one of those 15 people praised God like you wouldn't believe. And I still recall those days of worshiping with those folks, because even though there was only 15 of them, they were there to praise God. And they were there to seek God. We have more than 15 here today, but when we sing this invitation song that we're going to sing in just a minute, I hope and I pray that you'll seek God during that invitation. That you'll ask God, is there a sin in my life that I need to overcome? Is there a relationship that I need to repair, either with you or with somebody here or somebody outside of here? Is there something I need to do, God, in my life that I need to change in some way that I can be in your will? Because, folks, I'm going to tell you this. Eternity is a long time to be outside of God's family. So as we sing the invitation song today, seek God and let Him into your heart. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.